wondering when I'm going to run out of dirty words. I've been talking dirty to you for quite a time now, and the amazing thing is just every time I think I've said everything dirty to you that I can, a new word comes up. And the word this morning, I can't believe I haven't talked about it before. It's the word obey. And so one of the things that I've been doing for quite a few weeks is just trying to look at different words that we as believers don't like, but if we do them, they're good. They're the way to blessing, not curse. I mean, most people think the word obey, it just sounds bad. It takes you back. It takes you back to when you were a kid and you were told to obey. It's just not a word that we like to talk about. And yet it's all through the scripture, and it's the way to blessing in your life today. And so this morning we're going to talk about the word obey. But before I do that, I got to tell you a funny story. We had Zane this weekend, the youngest grandson, and we were having a good time with him, and we had to take him back. And, you know, that's the thing about grandkids. Most people say, well, you get to take him back. I hate taking him back. We want to kidnap him, and our kids were getting leery of, you know, hey, Mom and Dad, you kind of like him too much. Julie said to me, I don't want to take him back. And, you know, it's like when you have them, when they're yours, you want to give them away. But when they're your grandchildren, you want to keep them. Isn't that weird? But anyway, we dropped him off, and then we did our usual Saturday, which is go to Walmart and get the things we can't get locally. So we're in Walmart, and I don't like to embarrass first-time guests, but we're in Walmart last night, and, you know, Baylor did play yesterday. Right? And they beat Texas. So I'm in Walmart, and I got my Baylor shirt on, my Baylor hat, my Baylor. I didn't have my sweats on at that time, I don't think. And we're in line at Walmart, which is next to hell in my book. Anywhere in Walmart is next to hell, okay? And so we're standing there, and lo and behold, this is a God thing. This gentleman up here named Mark, is a Texas Longhorn fan. And I'm glad, Mark, I didn't go off like I'd probably do a lot of times. And he said something like, hey, I see you're a Baylor fan. And I said, yeah, we had a good day today. And he said, well, I'm a Texas fan. I was like, okay, Bill, you don't know the guy. You can't do your usual. But anyway, he said, well, I just moved. Somehow the story came. I said, here's the other side of the story. I can't hear as it is. You know, my wife says I'm deaf. Well, last night, all this congestion got in one ear, and I literally couldn't hear anything last night. Nothing. Zero. And so we got talking. He said he moved here from Texas, which, you know, I'm a Texan. But we all moved to Arkansas after we get through making a living. But I think he's from this area. But anyway, and he said, I just moved to Mountain Harbor. So we invited him to church. And because I'm deaf, I didn't hear his name. And so when he came in this morning and I saw him over there, I said, the Walmart man. And my wife, Mark, goes, I can't believe you did that. But it's because I didn't hear his name. So anyway, we're glad the Walmart man is here. His name's Mark. Mark, I tell people all the time, you can ask them, we live in one of the best-kept secrets in the world, this area. And we love it, and we're glad you moved to the area and glad you took a chance on us this morning. All right, obey. Let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, now I want everybody to listen. Look my way, adults. Is it important to obey God? Amen. How many of you think it's important? Raise your hand. Okay. How do you know what to obey? The kids helped us a little bit. Julie held her Bible up. You have your Bible, correct? Parents, the law, things like that. But even sometimes the Bible tells us things to do that government might not tell us to do. Matter of fact, a lot of times. And then here's the question. Are you obeying him today? And the next question is, do you plan to obey him this week? The word, I've never met anyone say the word obey is not important. It is extremely important. But what I've discovered is we can say it's important to obey the Bible. It's important to obey God. But if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not learning and what that means, you can't be obeying him. If it's been 2 weeks since you've read your Bible, I can almost guarantee you, you probably aren't obeying God. You're obeying something else, either culture, what your friends say, what your school says, what the authorities say. And one of the things I want us to understand this morning, it is so incredibly important for us as believers to see the word obey is not a dirty word, but a good word. Because if you want to be blessed as a believer, and when I say blessed, I don't mean money. But if you want to be blessed as a believer, it has to be connected to obedience. And obedience has to be connected to the Bible. And that's why it's so vitally important that you're involved in a church family where the Bible is taught. I could tell you a lot of things that Bill thinks that aren't worth a dime. But my goal is to get you to get into God's Word, not even here with other believers, but on your own. It's so incredibly important to understand that obedience is a good thing, not a bad thing. Well, let's begin with a definition. What does biblical obedience mean? Here's a definition. Biblical obedience means to hear, trust, and surrender to God and His Word. Biblical obedience means to hear, trust, and surrender to God. In other words, if you're going to be an obedient Christian, you're going to have to learn to hear. I didn't realize this, but the word hear in both the Hebrew and the Greek means to listen. And think about it. When your kids get into trouble with you, it's when they don't what? Listen to you. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to understand that if we say it's important to obey God, then we have to learn to listen to Him. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it means to hear God's Word and to act accordingly. Now, it's kind of a crazy thing. If you and I claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, and yet we choose to not listen to Him, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So one of the things I want you to see this morning is that one of the ways to be blessed, one of the ways to enjoy life as a believer in Jesus Christ is to be obedient. Now, let's talk about how important that is. The second thing I want you to see is all disciples should be taught to obey. Here's the thing. We have trained people to go to church. We have trained people to read their Bibles. We have trained people to pray. We have trained people to do a lot of different things in this world. But when you look at Scripture, the thing that we are taught, the last thing that Jesus said to His disciples is that they should go and make disciples of the world. Look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is what Jesus says to the church, and you are the church, and I am the church. He says in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Most Baptist churches have that on the wall hanging somewhere. But it shouldn't be hanging on a wall. It should be hanging on our hearts that this is what we are called to do. And there's only one command. I want you to get this, because I didn't know this for years. There's only one command in that passage, those two verses. And the one command is to make disciples. As the church, we are supposed to make disciples of everyone here this morning who's sitting in a pew. I don't want to make church members. I don't want to make people who attend church. I want to make disciples, and a disciple is someone who's learning, someone who's growing, someone who's listening. That's what we're commanded to do. And then he gives us three participles that we should use in trying to do that. And the first one is the word go. Literally, it means going. Everywhere you go. When you go to Walmart, you're supposed to be looking for an opportunity to make disciples. When you go to the fall festival yesterday, you're supposed to be looking for an opportunity. Wherever you're going, you're to be looking for the opportunity to share the gospel with people who maybe don't know it. So that's the first participle. But the second participle is the word baptizing. Baptizing is one of the parts of making disciples. And here's a way to picture it. You can go to someone, but they may choose not to be a disciple. Correct? But when you baptize them, that decision to go under the water, that decision to be baptized, doesn't make them a Christian, but what it does, it connects them to the church. And when we immerse someone, what they are saying is, I am following him. It is a commitment of your life. And that's why we as Baptists, we don't care what kind of baptism you have as long as you try to follow the scripture of being immersed. You can be a Methodist, you can be a Presbyterian. As long as you're immersed under water after salvation, that is what's important to us. Does it save you? No. But it does let people know that you're his. Now, the third participle is teach. Literally teaching. Here's, the church is real good about going and inviting. The church is good about saying, hey, we need to baptize you. We're really bad about the next one. Did you notice what it says? It says that we are to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. In other words, it is extremely important for the church to understand that making disciples is not about attendance. It's about life change through learning how to read the book, how to listen, and how to obey it. That's why these kids are coming down to the front are so important to me on Sunday morning during worship, because I want them to kind of try to connect to me and to know that I want them to know that obeying is important and that obeying the Bible is important. I want the kids to know that they need to be in a small group on Sunday mornings. What is Sunday school? It's trying to teach kids to obey the Bible. What is Wednesday night at our church? It's trying to teach kids, teenagers, and adults how to obey the Bible. You just don't automatically know how to obey. Most of you, what you're going on is what you've seen modeled or what we told you, but we didn't tell you the truth. We tell you, you need to go to church. You need to go to Sunday school. Life groups, we call them here. We tell you all these things to do, but here's the truth. The whole truth is we want you to learn how to live it. That's what we're missing. We don't show up on Wednesday nights for fun. We have an opportunity. I think last Wednesday night we had close to 150 people here. It's mad right now, and it's really mad because we're hopefully going to get our youth part finished soon and our children's part. We're condensed. But we don't, and how many of you are here Wednesday night? Raise your hand. Was it crazy? Yes, okay. We're all, you, Ashton, you agree? Crazy. No. But we feed families, we feed kids, and then our goal is to try to teach them some. And ultimately, that's what it means to be in a small group. It's to learn from other believers how important it is to follow Christ. And that's what it's all about. You say, what is First Baptist about? It better be about making disciples. That's all I care about. You say, is that all you care about? Yeah. I know this. If we make disciples, we'll be doing what Jesus told us to do. We don't make disciples. You know, why don't we adopt as the church, instead of political slogans, why don't we adopt make disciples? You want to make the church great again? Make disciples. You want to make America great again? Make disciples. Nothing else is going to do it except people following Christ. It's so incredibly important to do that. Well, look at the third thing. What is your motivation? And this is so important. Why do you obey God or why do you not obey God? And the motivation for obedience is one word, love. You see, when I think obey, I think, oh, and you probably too, I have to do this or God's going to strike me down. That is terrible theology. Living for Christ out of fear of Him is terrible theology. But what is good theology for Christians? Good theology for Christians is I'm going to obey Him because I love Him. Listen, terrible marriage advice is to obey your wife so she won't leave you. Great marriage advice is love your wife because she's what you should be loving. Julie doesn't want obedience from me. She wants to be loved by me. And vice versa. Love is the key for why you obey the Bible. Love is, and I've heard people say, I just want to sing this song, and before I sing this song, I want to tell everybody how much I love God. You've heard that on TV. Well, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus is going to tell you. John 14:15. Jesus said, If you love me, obey my commandments. So how do you love God? Obey Him. If you love me, obey. And then you go to verse 21. It says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. You want to tell me that you love Jesus Christ? Show me. And how do you show me? Just do what He tells you to do. Can you think how radically different this world would be if we all quit lying, if we all quit deceiving, if we all were kind, if we just all started obeying Jesus? This world would be better immediately. But here's what people don't see in verse 21 of John. And maybe you're here this morning. You can miss the last sentence. He says, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. See, I hear Christians say, I just don't feel close to God. I just don't get it. I just don't this and that. And most of the time when that's true in your Christian life, it almost always can be traced back to you disobeying Him. Hey, you want to know who God is? If you want to get a clear picture of who He is, obey Him. He says that He'll reveal Himself to you. The more you obey Him, the closer you are to Him. Doesn't mean you're the more you're saved. You're saved by grace. It's kind of like this. When my grandkids, and I get to use grandkids now, when they obey me, it is the greatest thing in the world. And man, they could literally ask for anything and I'd probably buy it for them. It's just the way it is. A couple weeks ago, we were at the Wachita Baptist football game, and Liam, my oldest grandson, was pulling the wagon. And we were supposed to be there for this ceremony, and we were going to eat lunch and do some things like that. And so he's pulling this wagon, and honestly, he's pulling it all over everybody around us. And he decided he didn't want to go to the luncheon. And Juju's sitting here, and I had this on video, and I didn't get it to Greg in time to do it. Juju says, "Now we need to go back, Liam." And he looks at her and goes, "Nope." You know what's interesting about people and kids and teenagers? You don't have to teach them to disobey. They're good at it, right? I mean, none of you parents have given your kids lessons on how to be sorry humans or what to do wrong. Why? It's their natural instinct, sin nature to want to do wrong, right? And yours too. You have to make choices. And what Jesus is just saying here is, guys, listen. If you love me, just obey me. Just make it your goal to obey me. Look at 1 John 5:3. It says, loving God means keeping His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. So here's what happens. When you start to obey Him, it doesn't become, because you love Him, it's not torture. But if you try to obey Him to get His love, it's torture. The Bible calls that, or the Bible doesn't call it, we call that legalism. Here's the difference you need to understand. Legalism is obeying God to receive His love. Christianity is obeying God because you love Him. Huge difference. Huge difference. So, how's your obedience this morning? Are you obeying Him? Are you listening? Fourth thing. Obedience gives you integrity, which our world needs. Psalm 119, verse 1 says, "Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." And then in verse 9 it says, "How can a young man stay pure?" How? He says, "By obeying your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." You want to be a person of integrity? Obey God. Obey His word. And you see, the world, we're lacking integrity. We don't know who we can trust. We don't know who we can't trust. This is an interesting word, the word integrity. Cambridge Dictionary says it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that refuse to change. In other words, having integrity means that you say no to something you want to do because you know it's wrong. That's integrity. Blameless is another word that gets translated for that. I've quoted a guy, I'm not sure if he's dead or not, but I've quoted a politician now 2 weeks in a row, Alan Simpson. I read this quote he had. Alan Simpson said this, "If you have integrity, Nothing else matters. Isn't that true? If someone has integrity, you can trust them to tell you the truth. You can trust them to do the right thing. You can trust them, right? But listen to what he also says. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Isn't that true? If someone doesn't have integrity, you can't trust them. Nothing else matters. Integrity is so incredibly important. If you don't have integrity, you're missing out. And you get integrity by obeying God's word, by being moral. Sir Francis Brown said this, "It's not what we profess in public, but where we walk and what we practice in secret that gives us integrity." C.S. Lewis said it this way, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." Do y'all remember Daniel chapter 3? The law was made by the king in Daniel chapter 3 that you couldn't pray to any other god but him. And Daniel, remember when it got time for him to go to his time of prayer? What did he do? He went upstairs, he knelt down with the windows open and he prayed. And they arrested him for doing that because it was against the law. But the thing I love about that story is Daniel didn't care what the law said. He did what was right. Integrity is so important. And you get integrity by obeying. Fifth thing, obedience is not listening. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves." The word listen is a word that is used to mean that you just, it's like going to a concert. You just enjoy it. You know, when I was in college, I heard about people who would audit classes in college. And I thought, how cool it would be to audit classes in college. Why? Because when you audit a class in college, you don't have to take any tests. You don't have to write any papers. What's your requirement? Just sit there and listen. And the funny thing is, what God is saying here is you're fooling yourselves if you think the only thing that is required of you in the Christian life is just to listen to God and just hear Him. It's not going to church that makes the difference. It's what you listen to and do that makes the difference. You see, listening is deception if that's all you do. If you know what the Bible says and you don't do it, that's not the point. See, we've got to get to this point in our Christian lives where we say, "God, speak, whatever you tell me to do, I'll obey." And that's what God wants. He wants us to listen, but He also wants us to obey. How many times, like I think right now in your own life, how many things in your life this morning do you know you should be doing for Christ, but you're not? I mean, I guarantee you, every single one in this room probably knows at least one thing that you should be doing, but you're not. Why? That's what he's talking about here. If you know what some of you have been saying for 100 years, I need to start doing that at church. Yeah, the number of people that are I shoulders, I should. Just do it. I need to start reading my Bible someday. What are you waiting on? God to drop it on your head? I mean, seriously, think about it. God wants you to do what He says and to listen and not is crazy. All right, last thing and I'm done. Obedience is a sign that you know God. Obedience is a sign that you know God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 through 5, it says this. Some of you may be doubting your salvation today. That happens a lot. Well, how do you know if you're really saved? Well, listen to what it says. And we can be sure that we know him. And that word gnosko in the Greek means to know him in an intimate way, to know him as I know my wife. I know her name. She knows my name. It says, and we can be sure that we know him. Here's the sign. Going to church? No. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Now listen to what he says. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Now, you are not saved by what you do. But by what you do, you show what you believe in. And I have struggled in my life in the past, not in a long time. I struggled with whether I was really saved or not saved. And the reason I struggled was because at that time of my life, I wasn't living it. When you don't live the truth, you don't feel like you know him like you should. You still know him, but you don't feel good about it. And so what John is saying here is a sign that you know him is that you obey him. And you know him in a personal way. And so the question is, are you obeying him? What do you know that you should be doing that you're not? Is there anything you were going to start doing that you haven't? Or is there anything that you were going to stop doing that you haven't? You see, we've got to understand that obedience is one of the major things that God wants us to do. Obey him. And that goes to the last one, and is the question, are you allowing God to speak? If obedience is God telling you what to do and you obeying him, the last question is, are you allowing God to speak? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The only way you're going to be obedient is if you listen to God's word, if you listen to the scripture. It is the only way that God speaks. Not the only way, he speaks in other ways, but it's the primary way. When you open up the Bible, God wants us. All scripture is God breathed, is literally, it's God speaking to you. And it tells you sometimes what to start, what to stop, how to fix what you messed up, but it teaches you how to live. And so the real question is, are you listening to him? Has there been anything change in your life since you trusted Christ? You say, well, a few things 10 years ago. Listen to this and I'm done. 1 Samuel 15, verse 19. God had told Samuel what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go in and destroy all the humans and all the animals and all these things. And he came back and God gets on him. Look what he says. In verse 19 of 1 Samuel 15. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried the mission he gave me. And then look what he says. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everything else or everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and the plunder. And then look how he made his disobedience okay. He says, I brought all this stuff in to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, in Gilgal. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the fat of rams. You see, he almost followed God all the way. And he came back and he said, well, I'm going to offer these animals as sacrifices. But that's not what God said. He said, do this. And he chose not to. The thing that we have to understand is God wants us to just obey him. And if we obey him, he blesses us. So you have a choice today. You'll leave today. Will you obey him? Or will you disobey him? It's a good word if you want to be blessed. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning and I thank you so much that you saved me by grace, but you blessed me by obedience. And Lord, a lot of us are saved by grace, but we don't feel very blessed. And the reason is because we don't listen and we don't obey you. And Father, I pray this morning for every believer that's here this morning. My simple prayer is that they would start obeying you and that they would follow you. I pray that those Bibles that we all have would get opened and that we would read them and that we would obey them. And we thank you that when we do that, we don't have to worry about things in the Christian life that we sometimes worry about. Help us to be obedient, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.